Blog Talk Radio. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child. Redeemed, and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and
think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I think, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages, or perform painful penances, to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3, 12 and 13. "Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden?" These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies, and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit, and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself, and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." and those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's Word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary, and as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." First,
surrender all to him. think, you know, children in particular, the universal need for them, you see, when you know students, they know that there is, you know, when you don't know them, they can be, and there is important for you to prepare the next. You feel it when you're using these two guarantees. Did you hear me, please, Caleb?
The thing that kills me, Caleb, is that you don't listen, Caleb.
You put this sound on these drums.
Good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Advent Light Ministry prayer line. My name is Brother Yudi, and I'd like to start with a word of prayer. And I'm asking Sister Powell if you can take over and host tonight so I can prepare for the message that is coming up in just a little while. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Sabbath. We ask that you would put us in the spirit of the Sabbath, that we may keep it holy unto thy name. We pray for your divine enlightenment. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins that we have committed against thee, your Father. By starting even to settle ourselves to enter into your Sabbath rest. We are still running around and hustling and bustling when you have given us 6 days, dear Father, to labor and do all our work. And Lord, it seems that every Sabbath we are rushing in. We are not prepared, which shows our condition, shows the condition of our hearts. So Lord, we lift up our sins before you. We ask for forgiveness, double portion of your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, O God. Give us thine strength and thine might. We thank you for what you have done and what you will continue to do for us. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. We want to welcome those to the Advent Light Ministry. And I'm asking Sister Powell, Sister Carla had a little situation and I had taken over. Well, she hasn't been on yet. So we just wanted to somebody to host so I can prepare for the message. And I want to welcome those of you who are on, who are coming on the prayer line. I want to just give a testimony about my week and how it was. You know, it was a wonderful week. Everybody, we want to thank the Lord. We are asking you that you will pray for our convocation that is being planned for the week of the 17th and 18th of July. And those of you on this line, we would like to invite you to come to Arkansas as we come together and pray together about, you know, what the Lord would have us to do. And, you know, God has been so good to us, and he will continue to be good to us. And we are asking that those of you that are on will push number one. Many individuals came to our store this week, and many were asking about health. You know, they were asking about health, and they were touched by what they saw in our store, you know, the Lord's store, not our store, but the Lord's store. And even today, after we have been closed, we closed early on Sabbath, but I think on daylight savings, we can stay a little bit later before, you know, usually about we can close about 3 or so. There was a lady that was waiting outside when I went to go drop off the sign. She was parked outside in the parking lot while the store was closed, had been closed since 1. And I said, ma'am, I said, how can I help you with what's going on? She says, well, I didn't know you guys were closed, but I stopped by to get a few things. And she said, I'm dropping something off. You know, it is not Sabbath, you know, because Sabbath doesn't start here till about 8:30. And at that time, it was about 3 o'clock. I said, I can open the door for you and you can get what you want to get quickly, you know. So we opened up the door and she came in and she got some carob chips and some milk. Some coconut milk and some carrot chips. I think she was making some kind of dessert for the Sabbath. And we got talking to her, and she told me she was a Seventh-day Adventist. I had never seen this woman before. I said, oh, really? She says, yeah, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, well, how did you hear about our store? She says, well, my husband came in here the other day and was talking to your wife, and, you know, I just stopped by to see it. But I said, well, I've never seen you in the church. She said, well, I haven't gone to church since COVID started. And I said, sister, I said, COVID it started a long time ago. I said, you know, you go to work, you know, there's no reason for you to not come to church. So she was listening, and I said, you know, Jesus is coming. I said, he's getting ready to come again. And I said, we as his people need to be ready. I said, we're getting ready to have a convocation. We would like for you and your husband to come and to listen to the word of life, to listen to the word that can revive you, you know, that can help you to make sense of what is happening right now in light of Bible prophecy. And, you know, she listened, and she said, okay, brother. She wrote down her name, her number, and her email address and said that, you know, by God's grace, she would be back. But all this week, people were coming in that way. We had some sisters that came in, three of them, from the Church of God of Prophecy across the street from the store. And they would like to have Bible studies and would like to have to be part of the health evangelistic outreach that we are doing. And the one sister, she's a Caucasian sister, she said, you know, I've been praying that the Lord would lead me. I've been praying that the Lord would lead me to show me what it is that he would have me to do for him. And she's a Sunday church keeper. And I said, really? I said, what were you doing and what are you doing now? She says, well, she used to do, I forget what she said she used to do. But then she says, but now I'm going to school to learn naturopathic medicine, to learn how to put herbs together and all of these things. And I'm asking that you pray for her. And also Sister Pam, she's Jamaican. And she's from the Bronx, but she lives here now. But she's a Sunday keeper. And she had asked for prayer for her thyroid issues and different things. And I said to her, I'm going to order you some sea moss, you know, for your thyroid problems. And she said, okay. She said, yeah, order it and bring in, and, you know, let me know when it comes in. I will see you guys on Sunday again. So people came, were coming in throughout the whole week. And we specifically pray each and every day that the Lord would send individuals that are searching. And God has been doing that. And my friends, we are encouraged to see what God has been doing. And it's not a lot of people coming in. It's not like there's 20, 30 people a day. But you know something I read the other day that really encouraged me? It says when Christ was teaching, it did not start with a multitude. It started with one. And as he was teaching that one, another one that was walking by saw and heard, and they came in. And then another one came in until there was a multitude that followed after him. Amen? And so when I think about that and I think about those things, you know, I just want to thank the Lord for what he is doing. And tonight we have a special message. I really would like to come off the host key. We have a special message, and I'm going to get off the host key, and the host can maybe call back the number. We have, as I let someone share a testimony, and I'm preparing to talk about the revival that took place under Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and what Hezekiah did around the time of his reign is a similar work that we as God's people, as Elijah, as the modern John the Baptist are to be doing right now in raising up a army of you. My friends, Jesus is coming. And you know, he's looking for us to be ready. And one of the tests, whether or not we are ready to meet him, is the Sabbath. You know, when the Sabbath comes, are we ready to enter into that rest, right? Or are we still in going on in the hustle and bustle? The Sabbath is a weekly test that shows whether or not we are ready to go in with Christ, whether or not we are ready to meet him, or whether or not each week we need more work. And so finally, you know, I just want to thank the Lord for what he has done, for the calls we have received. And I want to ask that you pray for our brethren in New York, because the enemy is kind of working. And because sometimes when we have made a decision for the Lord and we go back on our decision, the enemy can come in. So we need to pray that the Lord will send the right help, the missionaries, to come to this area, to do the training, to really prepare our hearts. I know it is short notice, but this small convocation was really a health expo that we were doing. And then we decided we might as well come together and study God's word. Amen. And so we need to pray specifically tonight. We don't want to spend too much time lingering in testimonies, because we need to hear from the Lord. About 7:20, I'll be ready to begin to speak, because we don't want to linger too long. And then we will pray and ask the Lord to join us. I believe also Sister Carla is now on, Sister Powell as well. So I'm going to
think she is on,
now.
Right? 423-635.
Amen. 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 And so the line is open. I'm going to get off the hosting now, and then someone else can take over. Go ahead, Sister Powell. You can share your testimonies, and then Sister Carla will take over.
Yes, because a while ago I go on and they say it's only one also. I don't know if she's coming on.
Yeah, you can go ahead and share your testimony, and then I think Sister Carla can join on the host key as I get off now. Thank you and happy.
Okay. All right. Okay, good night, my dear brothers and sister. Happy Sabbath. It's a blessing to be here and to hear Brother Yudi, you know, with that praise report, brothers and sister. People are searching, and they are searching for the truth, right? And God wants us to present the truth. So we just want to, I just want to thank God for what he has been doing. And as we all hear, we are going to ask my brothers and sister here to press 1, prayer. He asks for prayer for the convocation, a short notice of convocation. He's asking for prayer. And those people who sign up for Bible studies and to hear more about health reform, we are asking you to let us have a word, some prayer, brothers and sisters. So I am going to start open the line for prayer. And welcome again, everybody. 983-232, their line is open. Your line. What's going on here? You guys are hearing me? 985-232.
By saying happy Sabbath, I would like to read my prayer. Gracious and powerful Lord, forgive us for what we have done. I pray today to repent for my sins and the sins of other men. Lead us away from our wicked and evil ways. Temptation, better understanding that only through you, through loving you, shall we be saved. Only your kingdom and glory are true Almighty God. Amen. Only your kingdom and glory are true. Mighty God. Amen. Thank God for leading us into his kingdom, giving us these good and encouraging words, and giving us the chance to repent away from our sins and all the others, helping us to pray for others to repent. And brothers and sisters, just, we have to repent, and we have to do a lot of other things. Just follow the scriptures and just pray on it and ask the Lord, do what we need to do, and just get on board. And I thank the Lord for all the blessings. Just want to share a testimony for y'all. Brother John went out and got me and him an anniversary gift. Today is our anniversary. He went out and got 2 necklaces. He got one with the cross reading the Bible verse and he got one with mine on the Bible verse. Mine said John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I said, oh, I don't have his, so I can't read it. He put his in the room. But he has say, okay, he has say, walk by faith and not by sight. And I said, oh, that's the best thing you could have bought. You sure, we sure turning into some serious believers of God. Amen. I said, thank you. So I just want to ask for prayers for all my brothers and sisters on Advent Light prayer line, the missing members, the sick, the homeless, the one that's sleeping outside, and all the ones aboard in the United States. Just pray that we keep a safe weekend, because it's one of those dangerous weekends where they blow up those little things, and all over the world is dangerous. And I just want to ask for prayer for my family, because I've been visiting with my family. I got one 19-year-old was killed by a 14-year-old over petty. And I got a 80-year-old, she passed peacefully. And I have two more young ones, they caught a stroke. And I have one more cousin, she died just all this week. And I've been busy, I'm tired. I've been so tired, I get dressed, I can't even make it, because it's just a barren. But just keep me in prayer, because I just can't make it to their place. I just don't know. Just keep us in prayer. And I'm going to let Brother John speak. Amen.
Yes, it's Brother John from Hummel, Louisiana. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Brother John. Go ahead. Can you hear me, Brother John? Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother John. Yes.
What happened?
Go ahead, Brother John. Okay, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us this evening. I pray that everyone can hear me. Brother John and Sister Brenda Line just dropped. If you want to share, please press 1. Or if you want to give a testimony or prayer, please press 1, and I'll open. I think this is Brother Eli Line. I want to make sure that everyone can hear me before I give a word of prayer for Sister Brenda and for all of those that are going through stress at this time and the loss of their loved ones. Amen. 857-505, your line is now open.
Hello, Sister Carla. Hello, beloved brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath, my beautiful brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath to you, Sister Carla. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I like to thank God, because God is good. God is merciful. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Carla. Today's the day that the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today's the day that the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sister Carla, I have a prayer request at this moment. My prayer request at this moment is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Carla. Don't forget to pray for me. Lift me up in prayer, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for Brother Javel, because Brother Javel needs a lot of prayer, Sister Carla. He needs more prayer too, Sister Carla. His name is Javel, Sister Carla. J-A-V-E-L. Pray for Brother Javel. Pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for Sister Ebony, starting in E-E-B-O-N. Pray for Sister Ebony. Don't forget to pray for Sister Katiana, Brother Isma. Pray for Brother Isma, Sister Carla. Sister Carla, don't forget to pray for Brother Javel, that God will touch him, and God will baptize him in the name of Jesus. And Sister Carla, I feel like to do a special prayer for Brother John, Sister Brenda, and everyone on this prayer line at this moment. Let me do a special prayer. God, Heavenly Father, God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, we come to you, God. We come in your presence, God, because, God, you are good. You are faithful. You are worthy to be praised, God. God, we want to lift up Sister Carla, God, who is hosting the prayer line, God. We ask you, God, to send your holy angels, God, watch over Sister Carla, God. We ask you, God, to come bless Sister Carla, God, in a special way, God. We ask you, God, to come deliver her, God. We ask you, God, to come hide her, God, with your own righteousness, God. God, I want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Carla, God. Bless Sister Carla, God, at this moment, God. Watch over Sister Carla, Lord. God, we want to deliver Sister Carla to you, God. God, we ask you, God, to come bless her, God, at this moment, God. God, come bless Brother John, God, at this moment, God. Brother John, Sister Brenda was cut off, God. But in the name of Jesus, but in the name of Jesus, allow them to come back, God, on the prayer line, God, to testimony, God, to magnify your name, God, to praise you, to magnify your name, God. God, we ask, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask, God, to come deliver them, God. God, at this moment, God, we want to deliver Sister Tamiko, God. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Tamika, God, and Pennsylvania, God. We ask God to come bless her, God. We ask God to touch her, God, in her knees, God. We ask God to touch her, God, behind her back, God. God, we ask God to touch her back, Lord. We ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we ask God to make the pain to disappear. In the name of Jesus, we ask God to make the pain to disappear. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, disappear. In the name of Jesus, pain, go away. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, we ask God to come bless Sister Tamika, God. We ask God to come bless her family, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Tamika, God. Allow Sister Tamika, God, to do a special prayer request, God, tonight, God. We ask you, God, at this moment, God, today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Tamika, God, in a special way, God. God, bless Sister Tamika's family, God. Watch over her family, Lord. We ask God to break every chain, God, for her family, God. Break every chain for her, God. God, we ask God to stand up for her, God. We ask God to come deliver her, God, at this moment, God. God, at this moment, God. God, we want to thank you, God, that she was doing your ministry, God. We want to thank you, God, that she testimony, God. God, we want to thank you, God, that she do her ministry, God. Allow her to ministry, God. God, we ask God, we want to thank you, God, that Sister Tamika was doing your work, God. God, we ask you, God, to send your holy angels watch over her, God, in the name of Jesus. God, at this moment, God, touch her, God. God, allow her to feel your presence tonight, God. Sister Tamika, God, allow her to feel your presence tonight, tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow her to feel your presence, God. We ask you, God, to come deliver her, God, at this moment, God. God, God, we ask you, God, to come bless her, God, in the Sabbath day, God. God, we ask you, God, to bless her, God. Bless her, God. God, God, we ask you, God, to give her deliverance, God. Give her the victory. Give her the victory, God. God, 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 God. Allow her to say, victory is mine. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. Happiness is mine. Lord, we ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, to touch her, God, in her knees, God. We ask you, God, to touch her, God, in her back, God. God, 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 in the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, to touch her, God, at this moment, God. Touch her, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch her, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch her, God, in the name of Jesus. 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 Touch her, Lord. Touch her, Lord. God, bless Brother Yudi, God. God, we ask you, God, to watch over Brother Yudi, God. Javier, God. Bless Brother Yudi, God. Bless Sister Melissa, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Brother Yudi, God, and Sister Melissa. We want to thank you, God. That's Sister Power, too, God. Bless Sister Power, God. Watch over Sister Power, God, from upstate New York, God. We ask you, God, to give Sister Power the strength, God. We ask you, God, to give Sister Power deliverance, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Power, God. God, you are good for Sister Power, God. God, God, we want to lift up Javel to you, God. Allow Javel to come on this prayer line, God. Advent Light Ministry, God. We ask you, God, to strengthen him, God. We ask you, God, to touch his heart, God. God, 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 at this moment, God, just like Sister Carla and Sister Tamika, God, to do a special prayer for Brother Javel tonight, God. God, we ask you, God, to baptize Javel in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, of the Holy Ghost. God, we ask you, God, to touch him, God, at this moment, God. Touch Javel, Paul, God. God, we ask you, God, to baptize him, Lord. Allow him to be 70 Adventist, God, just like Sister Carla, God. Just like Sister Tamika, just like Sister Power, just like everyone, God, in this prayer line, God. Bless the prayer line, God. Watch over everyone, God, in the prayer line, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for all of us, God. We want to thank you, God, for Sister Carla, God. God, God, we want to thank you, God, that Sister Tamika, God. God, we want to thank you, God, that you heal Sister Tamika, God. Continue to heal her, God. Continue to touch her, Lord. Touch her, touch her, touch her, touch her. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Bless Sister Carla, bless Sister Carla, bless Sister Carla, bless Sister Carla. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless Sister Carla by in a special way, God. God, God, watch over Sister Carla. Watch over us, God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And Sister Carla, can she do?
What happened to his mind? Oh, someone close it. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Sorry, Brother Eli. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming on and sharing, Brother Eli. Thank you for that powerful prayer, and thank you for the ministry that you're doing amongst your peer in your home, in your neighborhood. Praise the Lord. And I, again, thank you for the prayer, and we will. I took down the name of your those that you want us to pray for, and we will pray for them, and also Sister Tamika and each and everyone on the line. Amen. And I just want to read Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, and it reads, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn. So God has loved us with an everlasting love, brothers and sisters, and he has drawn us with an everlasting love, and he's still drawing us. So may we, come closer to him. May we seek the Lord while he is near. May we call upon him in this time of distress, in this time of anguish, Persecution is right upon us, but the Lord said that we should not have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. May we trust in him, knowing that he will deliver us. Let's turn, I believe it's Psalm chapter 37. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37, and I believe it's verse 3. It said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, brothers and sisters. So let us continue to trust in the Lord and have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, knowing the Lord shall bring everything to pass. All the promises that he has for us are sure, are true, and he will do what he said. He's not like man that he should lie. So we have a faithful, loving, kind God. Is there anyone else that would like to share or would like to give us a word of prayer before Brother Yudi come on? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. If you want to give us a word of prayer or if you want to share at this time, please be brief and press 1 so that I can open your line. Happy Preparation Day, brothers and sisters. As we know, the Sabbath is right here, and my friends that are on Central Time, you still have a little time before the Sabbath. So press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. Just a moment. We have Sister Payne that would like to share. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just saying happy Sabbath, everyone on the line, and I thank God for being in your midst this evening. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. We thank God for this wonderful Sabbath, and we thank God for everything that he has blessed us with today for closing in before the Sabbath is set. We already get through to all what we are doing. We thank God for everything that he's doing. I have a testimony. I had 2 closed doors. These were 2 dangerous closed doors for me. And these doors couldn't open unless the God was putting his appearance with these 2 doors. And I'm just giving God thanks, praise, and honor that, oh, he can open closed doors, praise God. And he just swing them so wide, hoping. It just frightened me to know that my God is so great and so wonderful. Nothing is too hard for him. There's nothing that he cannot do. And so there's nothing he cannot do. And here I'm telling you this evening, I'm giving this song and this testimony to tell you how wonderful God is in my life, and I know he's in your life too. I take my portion from thy hand and do not see to understand, for I am blind while thou dost see. Thy will is mine, whate'er it be, whate'er it be, whatever it be. I do not fear, whate'er it be. Thy love divine sustaineth me. Thy will is mine, whate'er it be. When darkness doth thy face obscure, and many sorrows I endure, I think of Christ, Gethsemane. Thy will is mine, whate'er it be, whate'er it be, whatever it be. I do not fear, whate'er it be. Thy love divine sustaineth me. Thy will is mine, whate'er it be. When tender joy to me are known, I render thanks to thee alone. I know my cup is filled by thee. Thy will is mine, whate'er it be. Thus calmly do I face my loss. Accept it, Lord, and doubt thee not. Though all things work for good to me, thy will is mine, whate'er it be. Whatever it be, whatever it be, I do not fear, whate'er it be. Thy love divine sustaineth me. Thy
I just want to tell God thanks for what he has been doing for me since I crossed over on this other side of the business. Sister Carla, she was there for me, and I thank God that she grant me the access to come over. And I thank God for all the things that he's doing for me in this place. And I just want to ask him. And I want to thank God for Pastor to hear that if he wasn't here, certain things I couldn't do. And certain things here I still can't do. There's a certain thing I just couldn't do, and the Lord just opened ways for it to be done for me. And I'm just telling God thanks. And as I tell you, these two doors were terrible doors, high-end doors. I couldn't buzz them. It's trouble. It was about trouble, and I couldn't pass it. I couldn't do nothing. I sort of was wondering, is it going to work? Is it going to happen? But the Lord burst it right out. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, Lord. You're still working. You're still working miracle. And I thank him for what they are doing for me over here. And the pastor is very good to me. And Sister Carla is treating me good. And God is good to me. And I pray, God, I humble myself and drink the milk and stop counting the cow. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Payne, for sharing, and thank you for that beautiful song. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised, brothers and sisters. And we have to give all God all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is sharing time. I think someone else had pressed one. I believe the line dropped. If you can press one again so that I can open your line. Amen? I believe it was Brother Bernard, but I think his line dropped. We're going to go into prayer. Please press 1 if you would like to pray. And believe Sister Brenda and Brother John is back on because their line had dropped also as they were speaking. And I heard them, but I think they were having difficulty. So press 1 if you would like to pray. So that I can open your line. Amen. And anyone else would like to share, please press 1. This is time for testimony and prayer requests, brothers and sisters. And, you know, giving God the honor, the praise, the glory, and sharing your testimony so that we can be encouraged. Amen. Well, I'll go ahead and, since no one has pressed 1, I'll go ahead and share. I just thank the Lord for his mercy, just for driving on the highway and the byways. Just today, saw an accident with a big truck and a smaller vehicle. And I just thank the Lord that it was just those two vehicles, the drivers, they were unharmed. The truck wasn't total. They were, but you know, these accidents are really deadly, and just us driving the highways and the byways, anything can happen because we know the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, and we have to give the Lord thanks that we are protected. Each and every day we walk out the house, even in the home, you know, anything can happen to us, but we have a faithful, loving God. Amen? And I see someone has pressed 1, so I'll go ahead and open the line so that you can share. 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. My line dropped. I don't know what happened, but I don't know what y'all heard, but I must start over. And happy Sabbath, everyone. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I would like to read a prayer from devotion. Gracious and powerful Lord, forgive us for what we have done. I pray today to repent for our sins and the sins of other men. Lead us away from our wicked and evil temptation, better understanding that only through loving you shall we be saved. honor your kingdom and your glory for true mighty God. Amen. I thank the Lord for being so good and so merciful to us, because this week I have a 19-year-old cousin got shot by a 14-year-old. It's just hate. I got an 80-year-old cousin. She going home peacefully. I got two cousins, a sister and a brother. They had both of them had a stroke. And the lady left her blind. They are in the early 60s, and the brother left him speechless. He in his 60s, and I got a cousin. He will be an offshore for about 30 years. He had a heart attack. He's with me. He's just about 57. Okay, and I got another cousin dead. So that's why Mr. Praline yesterday, I was with the first one that died, the 19-year-old. Then I got all the other news. I said, oh, wait, I can't handle all this. I don't know, I can't handle all this, and I can't deal with all this. I'm going to go and stay home tomorrow night. It's my church. I'm going to put all this in prayer for y'all. I just got to pray because it's too much. I got to send it to God. And, you know, I'll see y'all soon, but it won't be no service or anything for me. I can't deal with it. I'm just going to pray for everybody. Anyway, I ask y'all to just lift all my family up in prayer. All this is whatever God put it to be. And you know what I want? You know, when I came home last night, the Lord had me praying to myself. He had gave me a vision to pray. If you go back and see these people, you pray like this. Tell them what I say. And I tell you, it came to me so strong, I said, well, I got to talk when I go back. Because they need to get right. This is family, so they need to listen and get back when I go back. Amen. So just ask y'all for prayer for the family, the being like prayer line, all the help we have, praying for all the help that the projects go strong. We lift it up to God and they get their stuff going. And the Lord keep them in health. And we're praying for the sick, the homeless, all the four corners of the United States. And just want to pray for the leaders. The Lord keep them strong and healthy. And Brother Ewing and his family get his congregation, get the Lord's place. The Lord help them get it in order so they can keep it going. And bless his family, because I know they're working hard. And bless the rest of y'all that's continue to build and finish up y'all project. Thank you for opening my mind, Sister Carla. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Brenda. Is your husband coming on to speak?
Yeah, he's
Brother
right
John?
Here.
Yes, this Brother John from Home, Louisiana. I'd like to say hello to everyone, and I was just thinking about my wife was saying about, unfortunately, the family members that passed away recently. A few of them, but it just reassures me more and more in my mind that we should really, if, you know, like, learn what we can in this life and see people good and everything, because we all just passing through this world. You know, God, you know, we all here and we're just passing through for a temporary time. So in the meantime that I'm in this world, I just want to really cherish it and just cherish everything. I mean, I just want to avoid fussing, fighting with people and disagreeing about things. I just want to enjoy this world and get along with people and just have, you know, just go through some wonderful experiences and teach what I've learned about the Bible and share it with others, and so their life can be abundant too, you know, and just wonderful. And I just want to say that they say sometimes when they come to college that knowledge is expensive sometimes, but ignorant to the word of God is cost even more, though I realize that not having the knowledge of God and Jesus and the Bible, it costs more, you know, than someone going to college. It costs more not to know, I'm saying, because if you're unaware of the Bible and the things that God teaches through the things that, and it's like you're walking with blindfolds on and things are really harder. So you get enlightened when you hear the word. And I just want to say that I always did believe, though, even when I hung with the wrong company back then, but I always did believe. I always knew that, I always believed in God, though. No one could ever tell me not. And then as I start getting knowledge of the word, it's like, you know, wow, you know, I believe when others didn't believe. You know, some people around me didn't believe. I believed, though. I believed when I almost died in the hospital. I believed through it all, and I continue to believe till the day I'm gone. So I just want to share it with everyone, and God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for sharing. Thank the Lord for both of you. Amen, your testimony and your just your presence on this line. It's such a blessing. Amen. And I have one more line to open as Brother Yudi's almost ready. So please be brief, and I will open this line. 518-650. Your line is now open.
Good evening. Happy Sabbath. This is Sister Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. I will sing of Jesus' love, sing of him who first loved me, for he left bright worlds above and died on Calvary. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give, he has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depth of love divine, earth or heaven can never know, how that seems as dark as mine can be made as white as snow. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give, he has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Nothing good for him I've done. How could he such love his soul, Lord, I owe. My heart is won. Help me now my love to show. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall
And I'm going to read Psalms 98, verses 1 and 5. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalms. Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your high and holy name, Lord. I will sing of your love because your love is more than life to me, dear God. You have kept me with your life, not my life, because I could not keep myself. So I just want to thank you and I just want to praise you, Lord, for your holy Sabbath day. I put each and every one of us on the line before you this evening as we come before you, Lord, bowing at your feet. We are here because we need you, Lord, and we need a touch from you. So, Lord, we are asking you to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that as we meditate on your word, it may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Continue to guide us. Continue to lead us in the path of righteousness, O God. Continue to mold us and fashion us into your likeness and to make us into what you want us to be. Lord, never leave us, never forsake us. Always be near us to hear us when we cry, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to trust in you with all our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding, dear God, but in all our ways help us to acknowledge you because only you alone can direct our path. Continue to mold us and fashion us and make us into what you want us to be. Bless each and every one of us along with our families. Guard and guide us and keep us from the enemy who is like a raving lion trying to devour your people. Lord, help us to forget about all the things of this life and to meditate on you and to look to you, to live for you, O God. And Lord, please lead us into the path of righteousness. Continue to be with the speaker as he comes this evening, O God. And whatever he speak, let it not come from his mouth, but it comes straight from your throne. Continue to lead and to guide him. Give it his family, O God. And whatever they all of us do, let it be a blessing, O God, so that you may bless us. Thank you for your holy Sabbath day, Lord. You have sanctified it, you have blessed it, and you have set it apart as your holy day. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, bless us, guide us, protect us, keep us from all harms and danger. I pray and I give you thanks in the name of the Father, the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for that song and for the prayer. Amen. And I just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters that came on and shared. And you did the opening prayer for Brother Yudi. So I will open Brother Yudi's line now so that he can begin with the message. Amen. Please have your Bible, your notepad, write an instrument in your hand so that you can take notes and you can follow along. Amen, so that you can share these lessons, these studies with others. Amen. 518-409, your line is now open.
Also, Sister Carla, we want to let those who are on Facebook to know that we are also live on Facebook at this time, so they may follow along on Facebook with us at this time. Amen?
Amen. Advent Light Ministry on Facebook, right?
No, just on my regular page. Okay. Amen. Let us pray as we begin for this evening with our topic study. And tonight, we want to look at a revival that took place under the reign of Hezekiah. And we're going to look and study the principles that we see of this revival under the reign of Hezekiah. And this principle is a similar principle that, you know, that we are to be studying today and understanding, amen, the things that took place under his reign and how we can apply these things in our personal life. And so let us begin with the word of prayer. I encourage you to go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. We are in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we're going to look at some experts of prophets and kings, specifically the chapter entitled Hezekiah, chapter 28. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath that is almost upon us and that is upon us in certain localities and places. We pray for understanding of your word. Your scripture says that the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And Father, I cannot speak, but I pray that you would speak through me and that you would bring about an understanding of these things so that we may practically apply it in our individual lives. For Jesus' sake and in his name we pray. Amen. And notice what the Bible says, my friends, in the book of 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. Again, 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. And notice what the Bible says beginning at verse number 1. And we see here a type of revival, a revival of primitive godliness that took place under the reign of Hezekiah. Now, we know that Hezekiah was the son of Ahaz. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning at verse 27, and Ahaz slept fathers, and they buried him in the city. We are in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 27. It says, and Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, but they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead. And notice what we are told regarding Hezekiah in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, beginning at that chapter entitled Hezekiah, page 254. We are told that in sharp contrast with the reckless rule of Ahaz, Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah, was the reformation that was wrought during the prosperous reign of his son. Hezekiah came to the throne determined to do all in his power to save Judah. So notice that Hezekiah was not just a regular king that took over in the reign after his father, but Hezekiah came to the kingdom. He came to the throne. The Bible says he was determined. That word determined is similar to the word that we see in the book of Daniel chapter 1, that Daniel had purpose in his heart. Amen? Daniel had purpose in his heart to do a certain things. In like manner, Hezekiah came to the throne of his father. He was determined, we are told in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 254, he was determined to do all that was in his power. My friends, when we are dealing with the work of God, we must understand that we cannot stand idly by and allow God to do everything for us, and that we must do a work ourselves, and we have a work to do. And in order for us to begin to do this work, as we are determined to put in the effort to do this work, God himself is going to aid us in that work. We are told that all of his bidding are enabling. And Hezekiah was bid to begin to do a special work. Notice what it says as we continue. Hezekiah came to the throne determined to do all in his power to save Judah, notice, from the fate that was overtaking the northern kingdom. The messages of the prophets offered no encouragement to halfway measures. Only by most decided reformation, it says, could the threatened judgment be averted. So notice, my friends, that we are told that the very messages of the prophets that was given offered no encouragement to the people of Judah at the time, and that there had to be risen up a king after a certain order who needed to come in, we are told, right, and offered most decided reformation, right, in order to begin this work of revival
and reformation in the days of Hezekiah. And with that being said, we are in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. We are in 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, and notice what the Bible reads in verse number 1. We can see some lessons that we can apply today to the situation that is happening. As we see the last days approaching upon us, as we see a stupor within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a stupor within the members of the church who are sound asleep, not understanding the implications of the things that are happening today in light of Bible prophecy, right? We know that since this pandemic took place, that it has to some degree ravaged the church. It has to some degree put a damper upon religious exercises. And there are many even today, some that I even met today, my friends, who are still sitting at home complaining that they cannot attend church due to COVID-19. And I'm speaking about over a year after the initial pandemic. There are many, my friends, who are in need of a revival of primitive godliness, such as not been, we are told, is going to happen since apostolic times. Notice what the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. So Hezekiah was a young man. He came into the kingdom as a young man. Notice what the Bible tells us regarding the youth of today, those who are watching and those that God desires to do a special work with. And in fact, God is not only looking for the young, but the young has a special place in the heart of God, because God understands, my friends, are you with me? God understands the power of those who are in their youth, and God understands the strength that they have, and God understands that the youth can do a mighty work. In fact, we are told that this weakest generation that we are today, as weak as we are as a generation, that God is going to utilize this generation in order to finish this work. And those who have submitted themselves to God will be utilized, my friends. We are told that as the latter rain begins to fall, that there are those who will be sitting in the pews next to those who are receiving the latter rain, and they will have no idea that the rain has already fallen upon a brother or a sister. But notice what the Bible tells us in regarding the youth in 2 John, regarding the youth here. Notice what the Bible tells us regarding those who are young and the work that God desires to do with the youth of today. We are in 1 John, I beg your pardon. We are in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. 1 John chapter 2. We are told that Hezekiah was 25 years old. He was merely 25 years old. Do you remember what you were doing when you were 25 years old? Do you remember what you were doing? I remember what I was doing. Certainly at that age period in which I was going through, God was not the uppermost in my mind. Are you following? And so at 25 years old, Hezekiah, having understanding that the temple of the Lord had been desecrated, that its doors had been shut. We're going to see that. The doors had been shut, had been closed for many, many years. Hezekiah came in to do a work of reform. A sweeping reformation had to take place under the reign of Hezekiah. And the Bible says that he was merely 25 years old. We are in 1 John chapter 2. And notice what the Bible tells us. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men. Notice, I write unto you who? Young men. My friends, there is a stupor that has taken place over the youth in our churches today. And God is trying to do a special work. We are told that many of the young are caught up in the hustle and the bustle many of them, not one in 100, you know, are not caught up in common enterprises, right? We are told that in the midst of this maddening rush and the money getting and the house getting and the car getting, in the midst of all of this, we are told that God is speaking. That God is speaking in the midst of this in the midst of this maddening rush. But here we are told in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, that I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong. So notice, my friends, that the Bible tells us that the young men are strong. At 25 years old, Hezekiah gives his might, his intelligence, his wisdom to the work of the Lord. God is looking on today, my friends, looking on for young men, yea, even young women, who are looking to give their lives to his service. Is that you, my friends? Is that you that God is looking for in order to begin to do a work of revival in these last days in which we are living? We are told that Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29, that he was 25 years old. And here we are told that I write unto you, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And then the admonition comes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the love of the flesh, the love of the flesh, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, I beg your pardon, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth what? Away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world is passing away, young men, young women, older adults, those who are listening, the world is passing away. The Bible says that the sky and the heavens are waxing old, my friends. The world is passing away. Are you going to pass away with the world, or are you going to be one of those one who do not love the world and neither the things that are in the world? Hezekiah, we are told, in 2 Chronicles 29, reigned at 25 years old. We need to underscore that, my friends. This is significant that a 25-year-old young man would reign as the leader of Israel at the time, and this young man began to do a special work of reforming that which was broken, of repairing the breach. Are you following me, friends? And the Bible tells us in verse number 1, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he reigned 9 and 20 years. So Hezekiah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for a total of 29 years. Now, we want to get deep into this study because we're going to continue this next Sabbath by God's grace, but we're going to notice what happens here. We are told, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. Now, he's being compared to David, post-repentant David, right? Not his father, Ahaz, who did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he, in the first year of his reign, notice, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord. So Hezekiah, now notice, my friends, that the house of the doors of the house of the Lord had been closed. Does that sound similar to you, right? Does that sound similar to you? And even today, there are churches that are still remain closed in New York City, in California, There are churches that still remain closed, and it's been over a year. Are you following me? And so what we are told here is that Hezekiah had opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So there was an issue of reparations that needed to be done. There was a – he needed to repair the house of the Lord, and not only was the house closed, but he did a work of repairing the breach, a work of reform that took place. We are in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 4. And he brought in the priests, and he brought in the Levites, and he gathered them together in the east street and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves. We are in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 5. So Hezekiah's work was not merely a work of sentimentalism. Are you following me? But the work that Hezekiah began to do was a work of sanctification, telling the priests, telling the Levites that they needed to sanctify themselves. They needed to sanctify themselves because in order for them to do this special work, they had to be under the sanctification of God. And the Bible also tells us that Hezekiah, not only did he bring in the priests, the Levites, and gathered them together. He gathered them together. So we see that Hezekiah did also a work of gathering. Where do we see that in the Bible, my friend? We'll go to the book. We see that happening in the last days, that there must be a work of gathering that needs to take place. We go to the book of Joel. We go to the minor prophet book of Joel, Joel chapter 2. Notice what is taking place here in the book of Joel chapter 2. He did a work of gathering the people. All right? He did a special work of gathering the people. I wonder what we are supposed to be doing at this time. Are we supposed to be gathering together or social distancing? Are we supposed to be gathering together as we see the days approaching? Or are we supposed to be distancing ourselves from one another? Notice what the Bible says in Joel chapter 2. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 2, and I want you to pick up with me at verse number 15, Joel chapter 2, verse number 15. And this is a work that each and every one of God's people, God's ministers, should be doing and praying for at this time. Joel chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible tells us, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. So notice, my friends, that Hezekiah, right here in 2 Chronicles 29, in verse 5, we are told that Hezekiah, not only did he tell the people to sanctify themselves, but he also did a work of gathering, verse number 4 of 2 Chronicles 29, of gathering together the people. And here we see a similar work being taken place here in the book of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, verse 15. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Notice verse 16 in Joel 2. Gather the people. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Assemble the elders. Gather the congregation. And not only the elders. And also gather whom? The children. Gather the children. Amen. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth off his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Now, verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. My friends, this should be our prayer, that we should be praying that God would spare his people as God is holding on. His angels, I beg your pardon, are holding on, ultimately him, to the four winds of strife. We should be praying that God would add a few more years so that we may labor. We should be praying that the priests, the ministers of the Lord, are in the process of weeping right now between the porch and the altar, and weep specifically for God to spare his people, it says, and to give not his heritage to reproach. So there should be a work of gathering, not a work of disassembling, but there should be a work of gathering one another. We should be gathering together in holy convocations right now. We should be gathering together and coming together to pray and to study God's word. Now notice what it says in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 29. We're continuing with this revival. It says, and he brought in the priests, verse 4, and the Levites, and gathered them together in the east street, and said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify what? The house of the Lord. Now we know that the house of the Lord, you know, God does not remain in a building. Amen. But God wants to inhabit what? Our bodies. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is that which he wants to inhabit. And this is the work that we are to be doing at this time, sanctifying ourselves, sanctifying the house of the Lord. And it says, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. So there was a work of sanctification that had to take place. There was a work of gathering that took place prior to this work. And at the same time, I want you to notice what it says in verse 5, that they were to carry out the filthiness that was found within the holy place. My friends, we cannot gather ourselves to God. We cannot gather ourselves under the banner of the third angel's message. We cannot gather ourselves to receive God's Spirit without first carrying away the filthiness that is found within our minds. The filthiness of gossip, the filthiness of backbiting, the filthiness of talking about one another. We think, my friends, that we are going to heaven in this condition, while the Bible tells us the condition of the 144,000 in their mouth was found no guile. They were without fault. They were not gossiping about one another. There was no jealousy in their hearts, my friends. When the disciples came up in the upper room together, they put aside their differences. They put aside the former things, and they allow a new spirit to take over them, a new mind to take over them. My friends, we cannot enter into this phase in which we're about to enter in while we are still holding on to the filthiness that are found within the heart of man. So Hezekiah, my friends, begin a true work of revival. Begin a true work of fixing that which was broken. A true work of opening back up the doors of the temple that had been closed. Are you noticing verse number 6 with me in 2 Chronicles 29? The Bible said, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. We see Hezekiah confessing the sins of his fathers, confessing the sins of his forefathers, of the generations that came before him. And the Bible tells us that he confessed their sins because they had trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and had forsaken him. My friends, have we forsaken the God of heaven? And I'm not talking about whether we go to church on Sabbath, because we can actually go to church on Sabbath. We can actually be active in the church. We can even be active in labor and yet have already forsaken our Lord God. It says, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turn their backs. Now, this looks similar to Ezekiel 8 and Ezekiel 9, because we understood that the elders, not only were they polluting the temple of the Lord, but also they had turned their backs against him and had faced towards the sun, worshiping the sun. And no, we see here that we are told here that our fathers had done the same. Our fathers had turned their backs upon the Lord. Verse 7, and they shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps. Mercy, they put out the light in the temple. They closed the doors. They put out the light. Total darkness. Are you following me, friends? You see the spiritual connotation here that is being presented. They shut up the lights. They closed the porch. They put out the lamps. And it says they had not burned incense nor offered offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Have mercy. Friends, they closed the doors of the temple. They turned off the light that was to shine at all times within the temple, and they stopped burning incense. Incense is a symbol of the righteousness of Christ that is mingled with our prayers. We see that in the book of Revelation, the fourth chapter. Go to Revelation chapter 4 with me. Revelation, the fourth chapter. And notice this oftentimes there's a misconstrue about what the incense symbolizes. Many think the incense is a symbol of prayer, but it is not a symbol of prayer, but rather the incense is a symbol of something that is to be mingled with the prayers of God's people. And notice what it says regarding the incense. We are in the book of Revelation, the eighth chapter. It says, Revelation, the eighth chapter, beginning at verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an hour and a half, a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar. An angel came and stood at the altar. The altar is the place where the incense are burned. It says, the angel stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Verse number 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. So notice that the incense is not a separate entity from the prayers of the saints, but rather the prayers, let me just back up. The incense is a separate entity, is a separate entity from the prayers of the saints. Are you following? And so the incense were to be mingled. Okay, so you've got two things. You got incense on one hand. You got the prayers on the other. The incense are offered with the prayers. So the two things have to intermingle. And the incense is lifted up with the prayers of the saints. And as a result, the answer would come. Now, what is this incense that they had stopped burning, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 7. We are told and that the incense is a symbol of the righteousness of Christ. This is that which causes our prayers to be answered. You know, God does not answer our prayers because of who we are. God does not answer our prayers because of our tithe that we paid. He does not answer our prayers because of that which we have done. Yes, obedience is necessary. That is not what I'm negating here. But God merely and only answers our prayers because of the merit of Christ Jesus. That is the only reason why our prayers are heard. It is simply and simply because of the merit of Christ Jesus. So they had stopped burning incense. In other words, these individuals were going on in their own righteousness. They were going on in their own self-righteousness. They had stopped burning the incense in God's temple, and they were closing up the doors, turning off the lights, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 7. And as a result, my friends, Hezekiah had to come and begin to do a work of reformation. We are told in verse number 8. We're not going to finish this tonight because this is there's way too much points here that we need to cover. It says in verse 8, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah. Are you following? Because they stopped burning incense, because prayers had stopped ascending before God, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah. So likewise, when we stop praying, my friend, when we stop agonizing in prayer, the wrath of the Lord is upon us. It says, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and upon Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, have mercy, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Oh, my friends, because they had stopped burning the incense in the holy place, do you see the outcome that that actually happened as a result of this? It says their fathers were taken and were fallen by the sword. Verse 9, Second Chronicles. Their sons, have mercy, were taken as well by the sword. Are you following? Their daughters were also taken. And then it says their wives were also in captivity. This is found in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, verse 9. Their wives were in captivity. Their sons were in captivity. Their daughters were in captivity as a result of the idolatry that was taking place within the temple of the Lord. It says, now it is time. Now this is where Hezekiah began to do the work of reformation. Now it is in mine heart. Verse 10 of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Did you hear that, my friends? Hezekiah said, look, we understand what our fathers did. We understand the trespasses of our great-grandfathers. We understand the sins of our mothers. We understand the evil that was done. We understand the light that was shut out. We understand the incense that they had stopped burning in the temple of God. We understand all of these things. And Hezekiah come to a point, my friends, where he said, but now it is in my heart. Now is the time to make a covenant with the Lord, God of Israel. Fierce wrath may turn away from us. My friends, is it your desire that God's wrath will turn away from us? It says in verse 11, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. So Hezekiah here says, my sons, be not negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Notice what it says in Prophets and Kings, page 254 and 255. Prophets and Kings, page 254 and 255. I want to read here. It says, in the crisis, they were in a crisis. In the crisis, Hezekiah proved to be a man of opportunity. No sooner had he ascended the throne that he began to plan and to execute. My friends, we are to plan, and we are also to what? To execute. We are to plan, and we are also to what? To execute. Hezekiah, we are told, had planned, but at the same time, we are told that Hezekiah had also was executing. He first turned his attention to the restoration of the temple service so long neglected. So the temple service was neglected. He turned his attention to the restoration of this temple. Are you turning your attention tonight to the restoration of your body? Are you turning your attention to the restoration of the relationship that's been broken between you and Christ? Are you turning your attention to the restoration of your mind? It says he turned his attention to the restoration of the temple service so long neglected. And in this work, he earnestly solicited the cooperation of a band of priests and Levites who had remained true to the sacred calling. Are you remaining true to the sacred calling of God, my friends, tonight? Are you remaining true to the work of the third angel's message? Are you remaining true to the work of reformation? It says, Hezekiah turned his attention to this restoration of the temple, my friends. It is time that we turn our attention not to our work, not to self, but to the work of the Lord. It is time that we turn our attention to the work of restoration. It says, confident of their loyal support, he spoke with them concerning his desire to institute immediate and far-reaching reform. Have mercy. He wanted to institute immediate as well as far-reaching reforms. He was confident of their loyal support, my friends. And it says, he turned his attention to the restoration of the temple service that was so long neglected. And in this work, he solicited the cooperation of a band of priests and Levites who had remained true to their sacred calling. And then he says in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 6 and 10, our fathers had trespassed, he confessed, and done that which was evil, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord. Now it is time. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord of his God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn from us. It says, in a few well-chosen words, the king reviewed the situation they were facing. Are you listening, my friends, to the point here being made? Hezekiah understood there was a crisis. And what Hezekiah did, we are told, is he began to review the situation. He began to open up the word of God, and he began to review the situation. My friends, we are in a crisis. We are in a stupendous crisis. And we must review the situation. We must review what is happening in our homes. We must review what is happening in our place of work. We must review what is happening in our industries. We must review what is happening, yea, in our churches. We must review what is happening in our ministry. Hezekiah reviewed the situation that they were facing. In other words, there was to be no surprise about that which was happening. He needed to review in order to understand where he must start, in order to understand where we must stand, in order for us to understand how we must reform. We need to review. We need to go back and begin to take note and begin to study carefully where we have fallen. It says he began to review the situation that they were facing, the closed temple and the cessation of all services. So Hezekiah sat down, he called the elders, he gathered the people, he gathered the children, and they began to have a meeting. All right? They began to have a meeting, and they began to review the situation that was presented beforehand and begin to understand why the temple was closed, why its services was not taking place. And within its precinct, it says, and the flagrant idolatry that was practiced in the streets of the city and throughout the kingdom, the apostasy of multitudes who might have remained true to God had the leaders of Judah set before them a right example. So do you see what this actually boils down to? It boils down to the leadership of the people. The leadership did not set a right example before the people. And as a result, there begins to be a decline in the spirituality of the people. So Hezekiah understood
that all true revival must begin with an individual. In other words, we must take personal accountability for what we have done to muffle the relationship between us and God, to muffle the relationship between us and others. We must begin to review and to study these things in order to see where we have fallen and what we need to do in order to stand back up. Following, notice what it says. The closed temple and the cessation of its services had to be reviewed. The flagrant idolatry that was practiced in the streets of the city and throughout the kingdom, the apostasy of multitudes who might have remained true to God had the leaders in Judah set before them a right example. And the decline of the ministry, the decline of the kingdom, and loss of prestige in the estimation of surrounding nations. Are you following, my friends? So Hezekiah had to appeal directly to the priests. It says, Hezekiah appealed to the priests in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11. He appealed directly to the priests. He says, my sons, be not now negligent. Are we negligent, my friends? Have we been negligent with the cause of God? Have we been negligent with the relationship in which we had with God? Notice what it says. It says, my son, be not negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. I want to read this, and we're getting ready to close. It was a time for quick action. We are in Prophets and Kings, page 255. It was not a time of a lingering spirit. It was a time for quick action. The priests began at once, enlisting the cooperation of others of their number who had not been present during this conference. They engaged heartily in the work of cleansing and of sanctifying the temple. They engaged heartily in this work. Because of the years of desecration and neglect, this was attended with many difficulties. But the priests and the Levites labored untiringly. And within a remarkably short time, they were able to report their task completed. Did you hear that, my friends? What is it that Hezekiah did? This is part one of our message. We'll pick up again next time. It was a time for quick action. Hezekiah understood that he needed to enlist the cooperation of others of their number. It says, because of the years of desecration and neglect, this was attended with many difficulties, but the priests and the Levites labored untiringly, and within a remarkably short time, they were able to report their task completed. The temple doors had been repaired and thrown open. The sacred vessels had been assembled and put into place. And all was in readiness for the reestablishment of the sanctuary services. My friends, as we close out with part two today, we want to thank the Lord for what he is doing. As we close out today, we understand what the work that Hezekiah was doing. We understand that Hezekiah had seen that the temple was desecrated. And the work that he begins to do is similar to the work that we are to do at this time. It says, because of the years of desecration and neglect. This was attended with many difficulties, but the priests and the Levites labored entirely, and within a remarkably short time, they were able to report their task completed. Are we going to be able to report our task completed? The temple doors had been repaired and thrown open. The sacred vessels had been assembled and put into place, and all was in readiness for the establishment of the sanctuary services. My friends, as we come to a close today, notice what it says as Hezekiah was doing the special work of reformation. It says, now, verse 17 of 2 Chronicles, now they began on the first day of the month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the month they made an end. So there was an eight-day revival that was called. We're going to pick up here next time. An eight-day revival and of prayer. An eight-day where Hezekiah had gathered the priests, had gathered the people. Hezekiah had gathered those who had aforetime desecrated the work of the Lord. And he called them. He gathered the priests. He gathered the ministers. He gathered the children. And he said, spare thy people, O Lord, and leave not your people to reproach. This is the work that we are to do at this time. This is the work that God would have us to complete, to start, to finish. This is the work that in 2021, in July 2021, my friends, God is buying us time. He's not buying us time. He is holding back the winds of strife. He's holding back the winds so that we can complete this work. This work of revival was a work that was done, and a work that is similar to that which needs to be done today. And I almost forgot this as I close. It says in verse 28 of 2 Chronicles 29, and all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sing, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. As we pick up next time with this message, I want you to search your heart. I want you to go back, as it says, Hezekiah reviewed the situation. Review the situation in your life. Review the situation in your household. Review the situation in your church. Review the situation of what is happening in your house. Review the situation of that which is happening in your work. Review the situation as did Hezekiah, and begin to make notes of things that has been desecrated, of things that could have been done but was not done, and begin to do at once the work of revival and reformation. Hezekiah commended to offer. Remember, they had closed the doors of the temple. They had closed the doors of the temple. No incense was being burned. Nothing was taking place. There was idolatry that was happening. Hezekiah, it says, commended to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And verse 29, and when he had made an end of offering the king, and when he had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. So my friends, Hezekiah did a special work in his day of revival and reformation. We have a special work to do. At 25 years old, this king held up the work and single-handedly began to reopen back the doors of the temple, began to light up the incense, lit up the light of the temple that was shut, that was turned off, we are told in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 7. and begin to do a work of reformation. Begin to do a work of searching the hearts. Begin to do a work of reviewing the past and that which needed to be done. Is it your desire, my friends, as we conclude part one of this message, to do the work that Hezekiah had done, to begin the work of reform in our hearts, in our minds? That temple, though it represented the literal temple, it is a representation of the temple of the heart. The temple that God wants to reform is our mind. And so I pray that this message, that this study you will go back to and review 2 Chronicles 29, and review Patriarchs, Prophets, and Kings, page 254, a chapter entitled Hezekiah, to understand the work that we as God's people must do right now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the message. We thank you for opening up our eyes. We thank you for this spirit that you are pouring out even now upon everyone in the field, those grass that are surrendered to your spirit, surrendered to the rain, surrendered to the dew that is falling. We pray, dear Father, that we would be amongst those who are receiving of the Spirit so that we can continue to do this work of reformation. We thank you, Lord, for this message that you have brought out. And we pray that you would open up the hearts of those who have heard or will hear this message to begin to see, oh Father, that we cannot continue to be lackadaisy. We cannot continue to be in this lethargic state, but we must awaken to our condition. We must awaken to the work that we are to complete, even at this hour and at this time. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you will continue to do. Put us in the spirit of the Sabbath theory. Imbue our minds, O Father. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us, as it says, priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the portion of the altar and cry, spare thy people, O Lord. This is that which we pray for. We ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi, for that message. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. And this is a time for us to examine ourselves and to search, you know, ask the Lord to search our heart and, you know, to see if there's any wickedness inside of us, and to reveal it to us, and to for us to do the work that God has called us to do. We all have a ministry. We all have gifts and talents to use for the Lord's ministry. So let us do that faithfully. I pray that everyone was blessed. And as we go and talk to the Lord and contemplate our life or you know, what we have been doing even up to now, and as the churches are closed, as this message touched deeply, because this is what we're seeing right now in our days with our eyes, brothers and sisters. So it's time to wake up. It's time to be like those wise virgins and not be like the foolish virgin. May you have a blessed night. Jesus love you and thank you again. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you for this ministry made prosper and grow, may flourish, O Father, according to your will, Father. Bless each and every one, our family, our friends, O Father. Help us to take heed, O Father, that we not be cast away, Lord. Help us not to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, O Father. We are in the sifting time right now, Father. Help us that we may stand boldly for you, Father, for the truth and for righteousness' sake, Lord. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you again, brothers and sisters.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood.
day long, I speak, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood.